pastor and his family knew that just a little over a week ago, he had quit his job and was sowing a week's worth of work to get the pavilion and all the landscaping ready for the camp meeting, and he was going to be launching his landscaping business. He was sitting way in the back, and the Holy Spirit targeted him, and prophetess said to that man right back here, described him, and had the ushers go to him. Yes, that one right there. And the Lord is saying that God's going to bless your business. And she said, I hear the Lord saying that it's not a career or a job that is over, that you're launching your business. Boom. Hallelujah. And how many knows the Lord is accurate like that? Praise the Lord. Which tells me that just because the Bible days are over doesn't mean the eternal part of the Lord is done. He wants people in the earth that continue to move forward with his commands. Tonight we're going to get into God's secrets revealed. Thank you, Pastor Jason, for teaching on last Wednesday while we were on vacation and a little rest and relaxation. And so we're going to cover some of these things and also reiterate just for a moment, because there are people that are going to be watching that did not get last week's, but I recommend that you also watch that last week, as we are going to look at the code of Jesus's kingdom teachings. How many knows not everybody understood Jesus? Now, he would not be considered a real seminary person for today, coming out of our colleges and universities, because there were folks that didn't understand what he was teaching. They say you need to make sure it's very explanatory and relative to everybody that hears it. But yet the Lord had a purpose and a plan, and so he purposely spoke in parables or stories that had a message hidden. Turn to your neighbor and say, God is a hider. They that dwelleth in the open place of the Most High, or the secret place? Secret place. God is a hider. He talks about in the kingdom. He talks about a treasure hidden in a field, not open in a field, hidden. He hides things in obscurity for people to pursue and want to go after him. On our next screen, the code to God's word is, see, who and what you seek after. The Lord says that's who or what you're going to find. For he that seeketh, findeth. So it just matters about what you are seeking for. And so if the enemy can get your mind focused on something and start thinking about it, and as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So what you're seeking after is what you're going to end up finding. If you're seeking for something wrong, you'll find something wrong. But if you're seeking for something good, you'll find something good. Amen? And so passion is found and is proven in the pursuit or the seek. Now, just talking and giving a little prayer is not the same as seeking. Seeking is when you pursue with an intensity and you don't quit. How many have ever had something that you wanted to find and you were determined that you were going to find it? And so whether it be a place, a destination, sometimes we gentlemen, if we have a little ego going, we're trying to find a place, and our spouse may say, are you lost? Absolutely not. I know exactly where I'm at. Don't turn the GPS on. I know right where I'm at. And then about a half hour later, maybe you ought to turn the GPS on. This doesn't look familiar. But we want to get to where we're going. See, in a lazy society, people aren't seeking after the right things. They're seeking for comfort. They're seeking for not going any further, the status quo, and that's what they get. But see, with the Lord, he says, I want folks who are passionate after me to pursue me, because the Lord is looking for those who pursue. Next, when you know the treasure that you found, when you're seeking after a treasure, when you know the value of a treasure that you found, you will want the revelation of all God has hidden in it. So God rewards those that diligently seek after him. How many knows there are more hidden things in God that he has not revealed yet? There is the surface of the word. There's the history of the word. There is the top storyline of the word. But then there is a code hidden in the word. And those are for the seekers. Matter of fact, there is ground and there is trees and there's soil and there's natural life, but there's a cave. But if you're not a seeker, you won't go in the cave. You won't take the risk to go in the cave because there might be a bear inside that cave, or there might be bats inside that cave. But some people seek and find jewels inside the cave or gold inside the hidden place. There is folks that they ski on top of the water, and they ski and have fun, but on the top and falling, and however hard that is by how fast they go. But it's not until you put on the scuba gear that you go under the water and find things that are hidden there that are marvelous and majestic. How many want to find the hidden things and the secret things of God? Next, love hunger for God will do several things. See, when people have a loving, passionate hunger for God, it comes with a hunger for His presence. I want to know that He is present. A lot of people said, well, the Lord is everywhere. Well, let me just help some people out. There is His omnipresence, that He is everywhere. That means every sinner in the bar and every rapist in every prison, God knows, and He is there in His omnipresence. Said He is in, He has observance into hell and back. And the writer says that even if I find myself in a hellish place, that the Lord will find me. His eyes go to and fro throughout the whole earth. He sees everything. But there is a different type of presence when you come to understand beyond His omnipresence, there's His tangible presence. It is simply this, that God is everywhere, distinct. But sometimes as you get closer to Him, you find He can touch you. See, if He touches that rapist, there's going to be a different outcome. If He touches that person that's just in the bar, there's going to be a different outcome. When we are praising and worshiping, we're touching God with our spirit, with our love, with our hunger. And when He touches us, we know it. That's the tangible presence. Then there is the type of presence where He steps in and His presence comes in a building and you feel His glory all around you. That's when things are loosed, because He's there. Sometimes He allows us to move in the anointing, and the anointing destroys yokes. But there's a time where the Lord moves even closer. And when He does, that's His glory, and His glory releases things that we can't do. He says, let me take it from here. So we got to be hungry for the presence of God. When you're hungry for the presence of God, you'll show up where He's at. That's why you're here on a Wednesday night, because you're hungry for the presence of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. When I'm hungry for food and I know it's in the refrigerator, I'm not out in the garage trying to look for it. I'm not in the backyard trying to look for it. I ain't got no garden back there this year. So I know where the food's at. If I'm hungry, I'm going to go where the food's at. And so if I'm hungry for presence, the same way, if I'm hungry for the presence of somebody I have a relationship with, I want to make the connection, and that's what we do. Also, hunger for God comes with a passion to know God's word. Oh, we live in the most illiterate generation of God's word. People are trying to tell us that it's an old book and it doesn't have any relativity to it. Matter of fact, if you don't have God's word, you're going to have such chaos that a civilization will be brought to the brink of destruction, because evil will be able to move in every avenue of it. You've got to have a passion. We must have a passion to know God's word. And it will produce a seek to know something. How many have ever been reading the word and all of a sudden the Lord lit something up to your understanding? You had a light bulb moment and you knew He was speaking to you from the passages of Scripture. See, that's because there is a close component of relationship and there's an eternal component. Yes, there's some things in the Scriptures that have already been fulfilled. There are some things that are of historical factor. But all of a sudden, the Lord says, look at this relationship with this person. Now, I know Daniel lived a long time ago, but we can learn from his lifestyle and how the Lord interacted with Daniel and how he pursued. He wanted to know a mystery when God was trying to tell him something. It troubled him so bad that he fasted and prayed for 21 days to get an answer. God didn't say, if you fast and pray for 21 days, I'll give you an answer. He said, I'm so hungry for this answer to this, I need to know that I'm going to use fasting and prayer. I'm going to deny my flesh. And he had an angelic visit. And the angel said, you know, the Lord heard you the first time you cried, but because of the very presence of things in the atmosphere and the principalities in the atmosphere trying to withhold you from getting this mystery. That's why Pastor Parsons says, how bad do you want it? Because if you want something bad enough and put a value to it, you will become unstoppable. Somebody said, can't stop me. See, some people are hungry for a cracker, but other people are hungry. And you can't stop a hungry person from getting to it. You say there's food? Uh-huh. Just watch what happens if we get into a food crisis, which right now we only have a 9 to 11 day supply of food for all of America. What happens if all of a sudden the very stores get bare and people start to get hungry and they don't have any fasting and prayer? It's all about their belly. It's all about pleasing them. And they can't find a Chipotle open and a McDonald's is not open. Arby's is not open. There's not a single restaurant open because there's no food. You will see them turn almost into zombies. They will be, oh, that house over there, I smell the barbecue. They will leap over your fence, and they will run over to get that food, whether you like it or not, if they're hungry enough. Sad thing is, people aren't hungry enough for God like they need to be, as a whole of society. But there is a remnant that is hungry for God, that is seeking after God to know something. And that's the ones that God says, you are my children and you're hungry for me, you're going to know more. Look at the next screen, please. It says, you cannot possess what you do not understand. I'm gonna break that down. You cannot possess what you do not understand. How many have ever gone to a garage sale and somebody goes in and they're hunting for little trinkets and stuff and they go, I'll give you $1.50 for this. And the person who doesn't know the value of what they possess will give it away for $1.50, and that person knows that's sterling silver or that's a gem and I'm going to go get $250 for it down at the jeweler. You will not be able to possess what you do not understand. You will give it away. If you don't understand peace, you'll lose it. If you don't understand joy, you'll lose it. If you don't understand money, you'll lose it. If you don't understand the things of God, you'll lose it. If you don't understand the value of the presence of God, you'll go on through a day, a week, a month without Him. And that is a place most miserable. How many like to have His presence always? You can only possess what you understand. You can only possess what you understand. Notice that possession and understanding goes hand in hand. And you could grab something, they say, what do you got there? I don't know. And you can be conned out of it if you don't know. But when you know, ain't nobody going to talk you out of what you already understand and know. Amen? All right, next screen. The code of God's word helps us to get deeper into the understanding of the value and the treasure the Lord has hid on purpose. Some things he hides so that the enemy can't get to. He hides your life in him. The code helps you read the word of God, helps you hear the word of God. It helps you see the word of God, helps you to know the authority to say and speak the word of God. And to do the word of God. How many knows that we are Bible believers around here? We're word of God people, ain't we? Next screen, please. The code helps you grab the word of God, which reveals God's voice print. The word of God is his spoken and then inspired written word. The inspired written word is that which we call logos, which is the trademark, the logic of God. And then the rhema is his speaking. So we see him speaking throughout all of Scripture, and some of it has been done. But the eternal component of God, as we saw when I said that about the angels in eternity continue to cry, holy, holy, holy. They did it the last, when we were 2 years old. They did it before, 2 million years before, however long it was before anything was. They were constant, and they will continue to be doing it. There's only a time of a half hour of silence in heaven where we will get the chance to rejoice the Lord to the Lord without them saying a word, and then they're going to rejoice with us. Hallelujah. It is his voice print. Somebody say, if I need to know somebody, I can find their voice in their letter, in what they wrote. And then I want to see if there's a voice recording. I want to know their inflections of their voice. See, if we don't know God's voice, the enemy will trip us up. Because the enemy will come pretending to be your voice in your head and suggest things that you know are not God, but confuse you because it sounds like you. He does a real good imitation of you. How many have ever heard stuff go off in your mind and say, why am I thinking about this? What in the world is going on here? The enemy has dropped a seed of that voice in to see whether you will agree with it or kick it out. God will speak to us and we'll see whether we will agree with him or reject it. It is his released thoughts. We find the hidden things through the Holy Spirit of God, and we have covered a little bit of that and may in a week to come more. Next screen. God wants to reveal to you the code of his word, so that you can know, you can understand, and you can operate in it. There are a whole lot of people that don't get into the Word of God, one, because they're not serving God, two, because they don't understand what in the world he's talking about. I recommend that you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John before you read the Begats, unless you are a historian buff that loves to know where lineage and heritage came from. Then you'll get a kind of an understanding. But when it says names that you can't pronounce, they begat this, they begat that, they begat this, they begat that, you'll go, what has that got to do with anything? It has to do with everything. Didn't you have grandparents? Didn't you have parents? Somebody begat somebody. Somebody birthed. Begat means birth somebody. And you wouldn't be here if you didn't have somebody before you that birthed somebody. So if you don't know where you came from, you might have trouble knowing where you're going. Because you got to know, I am now in this time for such a time as this. So the Lord wants to reveal code to you. But the code that he has is not for everyone to know. There will be people that will pick up a Bible, look at it, and go, say, what? Especially if they don't understand King James. Now, I was raised on King James. I learned how to understand King James. Now, I didn't walk around speaking King James all the time, unless I wanted to tell the children something in a ridiculous manner. Go cleaneth thy roometh uppeth. I just put something, you know, hilarious on there. But I understood from the Old English what was meant. And now that we've got other translations that are good to put with, then I can begin to see a little different. But as I study the Lord's word, I want to know what he meant, not just what was Old English, what was our translations for now, but what was he trying to get said? So the code reveals to you his word so that you can know, understand, and operate in it. It's not good enough to come to church, hear the word, and then not know how to operate and put it into your daily life. Because if we can't put it into practice, then we are stuck with old ways while we're trying to learn the word of God. But then we can get discouraged because it don't work because we don't know how to put it into operation. How many knows you can have the most fanciest car given to you, but if you don't know how to drive it, you're kind of stuck. If you don't know how to turn the engine on and put it into gear, and you don't have any understanding how to back it out of the garage, how many knows that could be quite a dilemma. I got this beautiful car paid for, this nice Mercedes here or Maserati, and I can't even take it out on the road because I don't know how to drive. Treasures from God, if we don't know how to operate them, we can't use them properly. But when we have that understanding in operation, we can do so. The code is the revealing of divine knowledge, that God knows his thoughts are higher than our thoughts, his ways are far above our ways, but he wants to reveal these ways to give us an advantage in the kingdom. That gives you the ability to know and to overcome. Matter of fact, one man, he said this. He said, "Lord, I want to know all about the heavens." The Lord said, "That's too big a subject for you to understand. Ask for something a little bit more focused." He said, "I want to know everything about farming." The Lord said, "That's still way too big for your mind. I want you to ask a little bit closer." So George Washington Carver looked at a peanut, and he said, "Lord, tell me everything you know about a peanut." And the Lord said, "Now you've given me something I can reveal to you and you can understand." 1,174 different recipes of what to do with a peanut, and made him a very wealthy ex-slave in the United States. All because he asked the Lord, "Lord, the creator of the peanut, what do you know about the peanut?" And the Lord gave him all those ideas to do. So we have peanut butter because of George Washington Carver. We have peanut oil because of George Washington Carver. His conversation with God. Isn't that something? So when we ask God and he gives us a revelation, we're going to be at a higher level of knowledge and ability to overcome. Where you have revelation, you will prevail. Where you have revelation, which was something hidden before that now has been made manifest, you will now prevail. Revelation implemented always wins. How many knows if somebody is trying to play baseball and they don't know how to bat, they're going to strike out every time. But if they know how to get that thing, the timing to it on the sweet spot, and the stroke comes to them in the timing, they're going to be a pretty good hitter. But how many knows if they don't know to run to first base after they hit it, they're still going to be out. So the revelation we know, that understanding that we know from somebody who already knows it, can be implemented to us to help us prevail. And then when we have it and implement it, we will win. You ready to go on to the next one? We're going to study tonight and go through some of the scriptures. We're going to do Matthew and Mark real quick. Pastor Jason had so covered it thoroughly upon last week. I want to read it again, get it into us. God's word is worth reading again. Matter of fact, if chicken is good the second time around, how many have had chicken more than once this month? Okay, how many have had some food? If you've had some food over again, it was probably pretty good. That's why you had it over again. So let's look at the Word of God, because the Word of God is food for us. It says, "The same day went Jesus out of the house, and he sat by the seaside." Keep going. Yeah, and I'm going to read it on through. "And great multitudes were gathered together," what, a lot of people, "were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat down, and the whole multitude stood on the shore to hear what the Lord was saying." Verse 3. "And he spake many things unto them in these parable stories, saying this one, 'Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he had sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air," the birds, "came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places where they had not much earth," not much soil, "and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of the earth." What happens? "When the sun comes up, they were scorched because they had no root system, and they withered away." How many knows that makes pretty good sense? "And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them." Now, before we go on, I got to ask you, what farmer in their right mind starts throwing stuff on their seed on the sidewalk? What farmer in their right mind takes really good seed and throws it in the thorn bush? What farmer in their right mind takes and throws into rocky soil stuff he knows that when the sun comes out in the summer is going to be scorched and withered away? Now, if the Lord is telling just a regular story that relates directly to farming, these farmers and folks that are planting during this time would have said, "This is the most ridiculous story I've ever heard. This is a very wasteful farmer." So on the surface, This story, we've heard this story. If we've been in church, we've heard this story. So if we've read the Bible, we may have read through this story. But if we look at it from a farmer's standpoint or a sower, I want a harvest. How many knows a farmer wants a harvest? So do you see any of our Missouri farmers out here planting seed on our parking lot? Have you ever seen one out there? Has there ever been a farmer out on our parking lot going, what are you doing? I'm spreading seed. I'm hoping for a harvest in your parking lot. Not a single one. Not a single one. How many have been out to the rock quarry and you see farmers out at the rock quarry throwing seed on a pile of rocks hoping that they'll get a harvest? Not a single one. So either Jesus is talking about a very stupid farmer, or there is a hidden code of what he's wanting to get across to people. So he's talking about seed, but we don't know what seed he's talking about. He's talking about a farmer, but we know he's not talking about a regular farmer. He's talking about some other type of farmer in the story. Because nobody's going to go out here to the thorns and throw a bunch of seed in the thorns and hope they can reach in and get a good harvest. Well, I'm hoping that by the time it comes harvest time, I'm going to be able to get in here and get some good cucumbers. No, the thorns have already pierced through it and they've died. I can't get no good tomatoes because there's thorns everywhere. I can't get a good harvest. And then he goes on and he says, in the next verse, he talks about one other type of place. He said, but other fell into good ground. Now we're talking because that's what a farmer would do. He would sow in good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, which means times, 100 times what was planted, 60 times what's planted, and some 30 times what was planted. Now let's take him that hath ears to hear. Let him hear, because now he's saying you're going to have to hear closer than just the story. You're going to have to hear deeper than just the surface. And throughout all the churches across America and around the world, the Lord is looking for people who hear beyond the surface. Because if it's just the surface of what they're getting, they're only going to get something temporary that's not going to last. Or they're going to think, this is foolishness. So you got to go, turn to somebody and say, you got to go deeper. So there's a code. The Lord says, if you understand this parable, you'll understand all the rest of the things that I teach. Let's go to Mark 4 and see what Mark had to say about it in that same thing, but in the New Living. Once again, Jesus began teaching by the lake shore. This is the same account, only by a different disciple, John Mark, not one of the original 12, but a youngster. He was a teenager at the time, and he was related by family, but he was hanging around Jesus and all the disciples. A very large crowd soon gathered around him, and he got into the boat, and they sat in the boat while all the people remained on the shore. And he taught them by telling many stories in the form of a parable, such as this one. Listen, a farmer went out to plant some seed. He scattered it across his field. Some of the seed fell on the footpath, and the birds came and ate it. Other seed fell on shallow soil with underlying rock. The seed sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow. But the plant would soon be wilted under the hot sun. Since it didn't have deep roots, it died. Other seed fell among thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plants so that they could produce absolutely no grain. And still other seeds fell on fertile soil, and they sprouted, they grew, and produced a crop that was 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as had been planted. And then he said, anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. He goes on to tell, and Pastor Jason covered very good, that he goes on to tell exactly what Isaiah said. They have ears, but they're not listening. They have eyes, but they're not seeing. They're not perceiving. And so unless somebody wants to go deeper, I'm going to give them this that seems almost ridiculous. Now, how would that be if right now all I did tonight was talk about a ridiculous story, let you out at 8:30, and hope one or two would come back and say, Apostle, what did you mean by that? In America, even more than three-fourths would leave out, scratching their head and going, man, there's something wrong with that preacher. That preacher just talked about nonsense. Nonsensical, sensical nonsense. Pink Panther. Anyway, just nonsense. And they would say, what's the use if it's nonsense? So the disciples, they went to him. Now the whole crowd leaves that day. We heard Jesus. Woo! What did he say? Oh, he talked about some screwball farmer that just planted everywhere and hoped to get a good harvest. Mm-hmm. And then the disciples came to him and said, why are you talking to them in parables? He says, for you to understand the mysteries. I've hidden something on purpose for those who truly want to listen and engage their heart to understand. And to you, it's to know. So now he's going to explain. Go back to Matthew and the King James, and let's go to verse 18 through 23. And we're going to find words. How many have ever did one of those codes in school where they had this mystery statement and it had little numbers on it, and then you had to go over to the code panel and find the number that correlated to a letter, and then you put the letter in. You know, A was 4 and T was 20 and B was 23, and then you went in and plotted, and then you found the hidden statement that was invisible until you put the code in. Anybody ever do that decoder stuff? All right, if you never have, it's kind of fun. Matter of fact, it's the preliminary to Sudoku. If you don't know how to decode, you won't know how to finagle numbers around for the Sudoku puzzle. But the Lord is now going to tell them some things that means. Now, I want you to look at the meanings to words. Because he said, if you understand this, you'll understand a whole lot of other things. Okay, let's take a look at it. Hear the parable of the sower. Next verse. He said, when anyone heareth, that's just regular hearing like we're hearing, heareth the word of the kingdom. What word are they hearing? Not comedy, not CNN, not somebody else's opinion. They're hearing the preaching or teaching of the word of the kingdom of God. And understands it not. Then cometh the wicked one, and catches away that which is sown in his heart. And this is he which received seed by the wayside. I want you to take a look real quick. We got seed, and he said, no, back up one. I'm going to dissect this just a little bit, Brother Jason. Back, not forward, back. Can you get it to go backward? All right, one more back, 19. Yep. There we go. Now hold it right there. The wayside is that which they did not understand what was sown in their heart. The heart is the seat of your mind, will, and emotions. So they heard the word, but wayside, a sidewalk, a trodden place, it's still on the surface. It didn't get in. So this is a closed heart. They've rejected it. They've refused to understand it because of the hardened place they're in. And we're going to go into that in just a minute. When the seed is rejected, then they don't pursue the understanding of it. Or they think they understand something different. I understand the world system and I don't want this. Then the evil one comes, the wicked one comes and steals it. Now, before he says this, he says the birds, the fowl of the air. The wicked one is the birds, the fowl of the air. Because the word also says he's the principality of the air. So we get into the one guy that writes all the real sad, depressed stuff, and he talks about a raven, Edgar Allan Poe. A raven looks at me. It's got, yeah, the evil one, depression, evil, is looking to come into my life. That's the, how you understand his poetry. Also, how the Lord has given you the understanding that when you see a bird wanting to take the seed, how many of those pigeons love that seed? You throw that seed out there, then pigeons will eat that seed up real fast, and then you think they're your friends. No, they will fly up and splat on you. And you're the one that gave him the seed. There is a stealer of seed, an eater of seed, and it comes when it's not quickly taken into the heart. How many messages and things have we lost? We walked out of the building thinking about what we were going to eat instead of reminiscing upon what the Lord had just told us. And by next week, even by 24 hours, what was preached? I don't know. That's this place. We didn't grab it. We didn't value it enough to get in. All right, let's read on. The next one says, he said that there's those that fell by the stony places. The same as he that heareth the word and quickly with joy receives it. How many have ever seen somebody get excited about hearing the gospel, hearing the kingdom? God wants me to be a part of his family. He wants to save me, give me peace, give me hope and everything. And they got the emotion of it, but they didn't deal with the stones. And the stones are the places that need deliverance and healing. They're the places of rejection, the places of abuse, the places of abandonment, the places of misunderstanding, the places of hardening. They can be false teachings. They can be false opinions. They can be a lie that somebody told you when you were a child, and now it has set up a stone, a hard place that needs to be worked over and got out of the soil so that the root has room to continue to grow. How many see that? So they got a lot of emotion, but how many knows emotion's not going to get you through the fire? It'll cause you to hop out of the fire. Look what he says in the next part there. In the next, yet he has no root in where? Where's the root? In himself. Where's the root growing from? The seed. Seed provide, soil doesn't provide the root. Soil has to make room for the root. Seed provides a root. When the seed grows, before it pops up to the top, it has to have a root system. And we see that even with an acorn. We got them out there in our yard. We got a big old acorn tree. And what the squirrels don't get, the blue jays don't get, and stuff that gets it, it just has to be down just a little bit of soil, just hidden in the grass a little bit. Just step on it, press it in, and all of a sudden a root will go right down in before you ever see a little shaft of anything come up. Immediately, the root is trying to tap into moisture and nutrients that are in the soil. So what happens is the very seed, and we haven't found out yet all about it except it is the message of the kingdom, the word of the Lord tries to find root in the heart of a person. It wants to set up a root system so there can be a growth, trees living by the living water. And what happens is the rocks resist the growth of the word. And they get offended, and they quit, because there's persecution or so on. Go on, next. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, but the cares of this world. So thorns are the cares, the worries of this world. So the worries of this world have a prick to them. How many have ever felt the frustration, the worry, the agony of some decision that was pricking your life, and it's a thorn? And it's trying to get into your heart, into your emotion and decision-making and into your love system and everything to mess up what God has put in there. Also, deceitfulness of riches. God didn't say that you can't be rich, but he doesn't want your faith to be less than your pursuit, because the love of money is a root of evil. So the deceitfulness of riches. Running after. This is why we train people here at the church to be looking for what God, where God wants you, not just where the job wants you. The will of God. I wouldn't even be pastoring this church if I was totally on what paycheck I could get. If I was going purely by money as a hireling, I'd be all over the place, trying to get more money, and whoever offered me the next more money, just root my family up and just go somewhere. Would it be the will of God? No, it's the will of money. The will of God doesn't cater to the will of money. Matter of fact, when I was first getting ready to go leave my job that I was on in the factory, and they were wanting to promote me to supervisor, and I had school wanting me to finish my education so I could be a football coach. I had all this clamoring and everything for it, and the Lord said, I want you to go and be a youth pastor, and I want you to take a cut. I want you to go from $25,000, $26,000 a year down to less than $8,000. And as I was praying, the Holy Spirit said this to me, money or souls? I know that's a loaded question, and I know which side the Lord's on, souls. So I had to choose souls over to money. And when I was faithful, then the Lord said, this is the least you'll ever have. I will bless you beyond this manner. And I've never been that low ever again in my life because I chose his way. If you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, his ways, then all these other things will be added unto you. And he provided. And now, deceitful in the riches and choke the word. Also, in Mark's gospel, he says, and other things desired that are not God's desires for you. When you desire other things besides the cares of this life, the deceitfulness of riches, if there's any other desire that's not godly, it will choke the word, and the word will become unfruitful. All right, next. And he that receiveth the seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word, understands it, starts bearing forth fruit, and we see that that's almost exactly the same, and he doesn't explain it a whole lot more. Let's go back to my slides rather than go to Mark on the New Living. Just for sake of time. Next one, please. Right after that, yep. We're going to look at the farmer, the sower, equals one who spreads seed. There it is. Now, in this case, who was doing the preaching of the kingdom? Jesus was. Yeah, we'll do a little interactive here. So Jesus was. But now, does he make it so that he says, only I can minister the kingdom message? No, because he says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to them and also make disciples. So there's a continuation. So the farmer is anyone who spreads the seed. The seed is the word of God and the kingdom of God message. Everybody say that with me. The seed is the word of God and the kingdom of God message. This you need to know because later on when you see a sower, you're going to see that it has to do with those that are in the hierarchy, in mature enough. A mature person, a farmer, is going to know that I'm expecting a harvest, so I'm going to sow a certain kind of seed. Now, if we go to Genesis, the Lord makes seed on the third day, and every seed bears forth fruit after its own kind. So peach pit planted will not give you cucumbers. They'll give you peaches. Exactly what is planted, everybody say exactly what is planted, is what's supposed to be grown. Therefore, the Lord says, how can a good tree bring forth corrupt fruit or evil fruit? Only an evil tree, evil roots, evil tree brings forth, but a good brings forth good. So when we look at this, we see that the farmer is spreading good seed. How many would say that the word of God is good seed? How many would say the kingdom message is good seed? Why? Because it is releasing us from sin, releasing us from the sentence of death. It is also encouraged. The kingdom is becoming part of the family of God, to become a son of God, to have the authority and have all the things that the Lord says and be joint heirs with Christ Jesus. Next screen. Now, how do I use that? I look for seed. When the Lord says I'm planting seed, I'm planting the word of God. Okay? Scatters the seed. How many saw that in the story? He was scattering the seed, right? Sows, and here's the meaning of it. He sows to anybody. Whether their heart is hardened, whether their heart is in the cares of this world, or whether their heart is got rocky places that need deliverance and healing, or whether their heart is already good. The Lord wants to sow to everybody to give them the opportunity to receive the word of God. He knows, and he's telling the disciples, I was speaking to all these masses, and there's four types of hearts that were out there. And the hearts is the soil. I'm spreading the good seed. Some of them are going to reject it because of the hardness. Some of them are going to have other things happen, and we'll go through that in just a second. But the seed, I want to give everyone an opportunity. How many are glad that he gave you an opportunity? I'm glad he gave me an opportunity. My heart was kind of messed up till I found out Jesus loved me. When I found out the price that he paid for me, all of a sudden I began to get softer and began to humble myself. And I began to know that his love was softening my hard place, that I could say yes to him and have my heart changed. And I want to be good soil. Do you want to be good soil? All right. So look, seed, the word of God, the kingdom message, the king's ways, his wisdom and his knowledge. Next screen. The soil must receive the seed and let it be planted and grow to maturity. It is the soil, our heart. Everybody say, my heart is the soil. That's my mind, my will, my emotions. That's where my spirit connects to my soul. I'm in charge of letting it grow in my life. That's our daily choices. The seed, if true, and it's packed with reproductive power. So how many knows it's going to bear forth after its own kind? It matters the soil that receives it. Next screen. So here are the different soils, the hearts, of the person that's hearing the message. One is the closed, hard heart that cannot understand. And I've seen that happen over the years. There's folks that just, boom, they're just, nope. They're like, their countenance is almost like their hand out. I don't want, nope, just talk to the hand. I don't want to receive nothing. And it has to do with a lot of things they've been through in life that has closed them down. How many knows pain will close you down? Having somebody that you thought you could trust and then they turned on you can close you down. A lot of things can close you down. But the Lord is saying folks need to be prayed for too, that they will open their hearts. So we that are good soil want to pray that folks that are having these hardened places, that they will begin to be softened and open up their heart so the enemy won't steal it and then them forget and be lost. The mixed heart is the one that has soil on the surface and they got deep issues. There's a lot of people that come in this direction that the first thing is they get all happy and then we have to immediately deal with those deep issues. If we're not dealing with those deep issues, if they don't allow the Lord to deal with and the word will deal, the root will start to go and go, tick, 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 tick. Hello, there's a rock here. We need to move it out of the way. He is good about helping to deal with the deep issues of past pains and hurts and so on and get them out of our heart so that our heart can be good soil. It is having both good soil and issues at the same time that's a mixed heart. Pastor David said we need to get the mix out. The third one is mixed roots. It's allowing two different things to grow in our heart at the same time. We're allowing the world's opinions and the gospel. How many knows this will produce a compromise? Well, pretty soon we'll say, yeah, the word of God is really not for today because I'm growing worldly issues. This is where Christians get sucked into standing with politically or opinions or other people or other things in life that are not biblical based. That God said. And they start to compromise. And pretty soon the word cannot produce. Because how can you testify to somebody that serving Jesus is different when you're doing the same things all the time they're doing? I'm just saved. I'm still in the bars. I'm still clubbing. I'm still cussing. I'm still mad at everybody. It's just the Lord has forgiven me, but I can still do whatever I want to do. And they'll go, well, hey, Lord, forgive me. Hey. And I'll just do whatever I want to do. At no difference. But see, when there's, how many have ever had bad walnut? A moldy, bad walnut. The taste is different. Is it still a walnut? Ugh, It's not a good walnut. It is a bad walnut. It looks like a walnut, or it's starting to shrivel up or so on. And it's, So now the Lord said, taste and see that the Lord, he is good. So when they taste of our life, they're supposed to taste of our lifestyle and our decisions that God is good in our life. But if they get a moldy taste, how many have ever, this happened to me. I went and put butter on my pancakes one morning, and I grabbed the butter dish my mom had in there and forgot to read what she put on it. And I lathered up them pancakes and poured the syrup on. And I bit in and found out that was the garlic butter she used last night for the Italian dinner. How many knows I had a rude awakening? I had a taste conflict. I started spitting out, and now I could not eat the pancakes because the syrup and the garlic was contrary to what I was. I just was not fear factor enough, Sister Megan, to actually just swallow it down and hope I didn't puke. It just stopped me right there. And so there's things that you've got to know, you've got the good stuff, or else they're going to spit it out. And that's what's happened with people who down and dumb down and compromise the gospel. Then pretty soon those that are around that need it, the lost who need it, are saying, you're no different than I am. I need somebody that can pray and touch heaven. I need somebody that knows how to get through these hardships with God. If I'm going to ask for help, I need somebody that's not in the same pit with me. I need somebody that can throw me a lifeline. And so I need somebody different. I need somebody already rescued. I need somebody, because I'm not going to ask a hurting person to heal me, because a hurting person will hurt me. I need a healed person to show me the healing. And that's why it has to be different. Okay? Mixed roots is the word and the world and the kingdom trying to mix together. It don't work. How many knows the sugar and the salt? As Pastor David said, right? Open. Fourth one is open, faith-filled heart, rich in growth, and yielding the harvest. So let's do a heart check. I mean, it's always good to take occasionally take your blood pressure, check your heartbeat, so on. So take a heart check. Some people wait till they got 100, almost a 200 beat per minute. How many knows you're about ready to blow out? And if you don't know your blood pressure and you're at 210 over 150, you're about dead. And so there's times that you need a good heart check to make sure you're healthy. A heart of a person hearing. So when the heart is closed and hard, it cannot understand. The other heart, mixed heart. Oh, go to the next one. I already read that one. Praise the Lord. I wonder why it's different down here. Heart check is the state of our thoughts, our will, our emotions, our beliefs, our focus, our inner voice, our connection. Is that focused on the Word of God and the Lord? Can you have the Word of God operating in your finances? Yes. Can you have the Word of God operating in your emotions? Yes, he's not giving you a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. Can God be working in your thoughts? Yeah, because if the enemy can work in your thoughts, God can really work in our thoughts, right? Our focus. Can God be found in our focus? Yes, if we choose to focus on him. And can we find God's words so heavy that we're eating God's word that it becomes that inner voice that leads us and guides us into all truth? So let's go to the next one. In this heart check, the question is, do we listen to understand, to hear the voice of the Lord and make his word strong where? Not just in church, but in our daily lives. That's the question we have to ask ourselves. I have to ask myself, am I really listening? Or am I so busy with the Lord's business that I'm not listening to the Lord of the business? Am I so busy after what God has created that I'm not listening to the creator of the created? I need to be listening to his voice. Number two, do we seek to perceive or to truly see and understand and walk in the word? When you are, you won't just take in everybody's opinion. You'll check it. Matter of fact, it was in the book of Acts, they said that the Berean folks, they actually checked everything that Paul said. They went back to the scripts and searched out the scriptures, the scrolls, to see if what he was saying was accurate. And Paul said, that's some good folks right there, because they didn't just take it at face value, in my opinion. They went back and checked it to the word to see if what I was saying was accurate. See, this is what we need to do to walk, to understand, and to walk in the word. Number three, do we get excited plus deal with the deeper issues? It's okay to be excited and to be emotional about the Lord if we still give him the deeper places, not try to cover them up. How many have ever had some things we get excited? The Lord's healing people. He's doing miracles. People are getting this and that. And all of a sudden the Lord says, I want to deal with you, Sister Heather, in this spot. And Sister Heather has to say, yes, Lord, I hear you. It's going to be a little tough, but I'm gonna work on that. Or she's going to go, you know, I just want the excited stuff. Just bless me, bless me, bless me, bless me, bless me. Deliver me. Say what? I've got to give that thing to the Lord. One of the guys that was very instrumental in helping me understand some things was a guy that worked at the TV station. He was regular Christian, went to church all the time and stuff, and they had home Bible study. He said this. He said, when I find anything out, I said, I purposely call it out like jealousy. Jealousy, you're trying to get a spot in me. I choose Jesus over you. So you got to go. There is no jealousy in the heart that chooses Jesus. And he said, you'd be surprised how quick I could get delivered over stuff that's in my heart when I chose Jesus and called it out and then cast it out. It no longer had any power because I chose, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Not give me Jesus' hand, just give me Jesus. Because everything that Jesus has is for us. The rocky places, those deep issues of the heart, so that we can have those deep roots. We let God deal with those rocky places, those places that have been hardened to be softened, so the deep roots of the word can go into us. Why? Because we want to last. His word is eternal, not temporary. And do we produce increase? See, as long as we're trying to work around on those first three, we're having trouble producing anything. And the Lord wants us to increase. Matter of fact, it's his will for us to increase. Next, look at this. First, the danger of not being, I'm going to deal with the first soil, and then I'll come back to the fourth soil, and I'm going to speed it up here. The danger of not being open. The trodden path equals life experiences, hardened rejection, abandonment, abuse, false teachings, and closed heart. The result, no harvest. Nothing produced. So when we're trodden underfoot, that's why I say Christians are not to be a welcome mat for the enemy to step on. We rise up and tell him he needs to be underneath our feet, like the master said. We tread upon the serpents and the scorpions. We take the authority place. We do not let the enemy make us feel like that he is scrubbing mud on our face. And we're a mat to be walked on, because we will not be able to produce, and he understands that. So in that, we understood that the birds or the fowl of the air equals the evil one. When you find that the one that really sticks out that the Lord uses in Noah's time is the dove. The dove gets the good part. He let a raven out. Raven's independent, just fly around, do whatever. But the dove couldn't find a place to sit down. Had to come back. Then when it came back with the olive branch, Noah knew that the waters had gone down. So then the Lord is coming up out of the waters of baptism, and what do they see? They see the Holy Spirit, likened unto a dove, come and sit on his shoulder. Now, if we walked out in the parking lot and a gigantic crow, raven, vulture comes and sits on my shoulder, would you be superstitious enough to think that, that might be a sign that if it's comfortable on my shoulder that I might not be a true preacher? Yes or no? I don't know of any preacher that has a pet vulture. Huh. But if we walked out tonight and the presence of the Lord is so sweet and a dove comes and just sits on my shoulder, would you have a different reaction? Why? Because those scavenger devouring birds in the word represent the evil one, but the dove represents the Holy Spirit. And that's why you have that different feel of that. Does that help explain it a little bit? And I'm too ahead of you now, Jason. All right. Wait a minute, stay right there. Stolen seed is then equals whatever has been forgotten and lost, because ultimately it was rejected by not wanting to understand it further. Okay, so when you see in Scripture where there's lost seed, stolen seed, it's because somebody didn't do their due diligence to treasure the seed. And the seed is what? The Word of God and the message of the kingdom. Okay? All right, next. It says, second, the danger of not being deeply open and healed. That rocky soil equals emotions covered, the deeper places of hurt, refuses to let deliverance of the word take root and turn heart to good soil. So, somebody gets offended, they can't seem to handle the pressure, and they run back out, and you've done everything you can to try to help them, to try to love them, try to care for them. The enemy will then say, there's something wrong with the church, there's something wrong with the preacher, because look, somebody ran away. The Lord says, no, that's not necessarily true. It may be they wouldn't let me deal with an issue. And whenever there's hard times, challenges, any type of persecution because of the word, they'll not be able to stay. The ones who are good soil, you bring persecution, they're still coming. Challenges, they're still loving God. All sorts of turmoil, they'll still love God. When the dust settles through great turmoil and storm, the ones who are still good soil will still be growing the things in the Word of God. So what happens with folks that are that way, the rocky soil, if they don't change, there's no harvest, nothing's produced, they have temporary belief that fails. And when they head back out, their testimony is laughed at because they started but could not finish. It was, next screen, emotional joy for the moment. It was surface only. No word rooted deeply in them. Why is it important to get deeply rooted in the Word of God? So he can deal with those issues so you won't be a surface believer. Because surface believers dangerously temporary. Because it will get hot. When the sun is hot, that equals difficulty, persecution, conflict over the word. And if we don't have a deep root system, how many knows that with the heat, there's been plants and things that have really been stressed, stuff that has died because they don't have deep enough roots. But the things that have deep enough roots to still tap some water, way down in the water table, they're still doing pretty good. They're still able to recover. The same way it is with us growing in God. Because if we don't have the deep root system in the Word of God, in our heart, that's why we got to keep growing it and going for the roots and to get more of the Word of God in us so that we will not be tempted during a hot time, a conflict, to quit or die or reject God. So the highway patrol comes walking in here, and they come and they shut down church, and they come take me away to prison because it's now illegal to preach the truth and to say certain things are wrong and certain things are right. You find out real quick who's offended and who's really strong. It's a matter of the heart and how much word we got. We must not let the next thing, which is the danger of mix, let the cares of this world come to the place where we don't have the word solid in us. It's not able to grow. Because then it will be only a temporary belief again. No harvest will come because the thorns of this life, the pains of worry and frustration and work and bills and family and so on and so forth, if we let all of that build up trying to do what they say, quote, is the American dream, which may not be exactly what God said is for your life. Did the Lord promise us a mansion? Yes. But he didn't promise every one of us here in Springfield. Where's the mansion? In heaven. So there's some stuff that we may not attain here that we will definitely attain there. I liked what one of the quotes was, that you're really prosperous when you've got enough finances and resources to do what God told you, and some to be able to give to somebody else to help them do what God told them. That's really missions. That's really what we're going to be doing so into our community, the relieving hurt and pain. That's prosperity. That's prosperity. All right, the thorns is the curse. How many knows that Jesus wore the thorns? They put that as a mockery of the crown of thorns on his head. Thorns came up after sin arose and made it hard to bring forth the harvest, because thorns represents the curse of sin and the worldly focus. It's a non-bearing fruit. It is a seed weed. It continuing in the same heart. It tries to grow in the same heart with the word. It will rob us of the things of growth. Next. Fourth, I want to really get this. I got 10 minutes, so I want to get this good. The development and demonstration of being rich in heart. That's the good soil. So the good soil equals, the Lord always said, have a singleness of heart. Be focused upon him. Operating in faith daily. There's a challenge right there. How many have operated in worry sometimes on a daily basis? Or frustration? Or I'm just going along with life. Que sera, sera, whatever will be. That's not this. Singleness of heart and focus is the word of God says, therefore everything else is going to change to match the word of God. Not I'm going to change to match the word, the world. I'm going to change my heart to match the word of God, and everything else has to match that. So look at it. Result is a big harvest. Everybody say a big harvest. I like this, that he didn't just put a little puny harvest in here. He put a big harvest in here. He said, now there's going to be three levels of people that are of good, that have the singleness of heart. They're operating in faith daily. They're going to have a 30 times, 60 times, 100 times harvest of what? What was planted. What was planted in this parable? Seed equals? Exactly, David. Exactly. Wonderful. It is not money. All of a sudden, we talk about good soil, it shifts. He's talking about money. No, he's not. He's talking about joy. No, he's not. Those are parts and parts. He is talking about the word of God as a whole that's being preached as the kingdom message. That is to what he has preached to them. He preached to the masses that they might believe in who? The Lord Jesus Christ as the Savior of the world. That is the first starting point, that the Lord is trying to then change our hearts, convert us, get sin out so the Holy Spirit can have a place in our heart, because he cannot co-abide with the sin nature. He has to have a redeemed heart to come in and abide in so that we can be trained up to be part of the body of Christ, the bride of Christ, and the sons of God made manifest. Okay? So 30 times the word, 60 times the word, 100 times the word. Woo! I am a Bible scholar. That's all God wanted me to be, is have 100 times the word in my life. When you get to be a harvester, take a look at the next screen. When you get to be a harvester and you get that harvest of the fruit is the multiplication of the multitude of seed. What do you do with the multitude of seed? Farmer, I plant the seed. I scatter the seed to whoever will listen. Notice that when you get to be 30, 60, 100, you are now mature enough to be the farmer who now is the same as Jesus, preaching the word to others and planting the seed. It's not for us to eat on ourselves. It's for us to sow to someone else that they might grow up in the same good soil of the word of God and receive all the goodness and again move forward. So producing after its own kind means bearing forth the word multiplied. Many times people have said that this has to do with just the fruit of the Spirit, the character of God. But the character of Christ in coming in the fruit of the Spirit is to be exactly what Jesus did. And he said, I'm the sower. And you can be a sower. Whoever sows. This is the kingdom message that the Lord said to his disciples, to be like me, love one another, love God, love one another, and go sow the good message to the folks that are POWs. They are in the very jaws of death and hell. They are being tortured, and think through the toxins, I'm having a good time. And death is trying to creep up on them, to steal their soul straight to hell. We have to give them the proper seed and pray for them that their heart will be open to receive it. And along the way, the only way to get mature is to make sure that we don't grow thorns along with the word, is to make sure that we take care of the hurting places so that we can help others take care of their hurting places, so that we can help others avoid the pitfalls of the thorns, so that we can help others open up from the wayside heart. Because the thing is, the Lord said here, he never says that the hearts have to be exactly the same for the rest of their life. How many knows we had a change of heart and the Lord came into our heart? Therefore, hearts can be changed. So it produces a plant, a son of the kingdom. We are the planting of our God, one living by the word, and we reproduce other plants from the seed of the word we've been given. This is why he says, freely as you have received, freely give. So think for just a moment. There's only two conclusions to this parable. Either we are going to have enough word to witness to 30 people or 60 people or 100 people, and they might be one of the four soils, or he wants us, not everybody win one, he wants us to win 30, 60, or 100. Now, just for a moment, do the math, just like my Do Unto Others academic article that the Lord allowed me to be able to write with two other professors at Missouri State University. Let me just do the math for a minute. Out of four soils, how many soils produced? That means 25% produced. So even if I sow to 30 people and 75% of them actually refuse it or don't get it all or something, I have to believe that one-fourth, roughly seven, because you can't have half a person unless they're pregnant. So, you kind of call them, but roughly seven people. So is that higher than everybody win one? Yeah. Even if three-quarters refuse us, at a hundredfold, I've got 100. I'm able to go out and I'm able to share with people. I'm not afraid. I'm able to go speak the word to 100 people. And if 25 come to Christ and are good soil, they're going to then produce others. And there's no law that says I have to stop at helping 25 people come in to the kingdom. Give God a praise right there. So I got just a couple screens left. Let's go to those other screens. So this is why we're a church with passion, purpose, and process. And we love with passion and we live with purpose. Our purpose statement is to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and the kingdom to the lost and the unchurched. Because there are some lost in church. That's why the Lord had me write it this way. To the lost and the unchurched, to disciple those who are converted, who come to Christ, bringing every generation, it doesn't matter what generation they're in, we're going to receive them, whether they're young, teenagers, 20s, 90s, 100. Every generation, we want to bring them into maturity and the quality of life, first spiritually and emotionally, physically and financially, so that they will become harvesters of the kingdom. Pastor Parsley's, he says this, the apex, the highest pinnacle of all Christian endeavors or works that we do must be to place the jewel of a soul that's come to Christ in the crown of our Savior, so the Lamb that was slain may receive the reward of his sufferings. So all we have to ask ourselves is, who are we endeavoring to present Christ as a saved jewel, a friend, family member, co-worker, our community. This Sunday night coming up, we're going to canvass 1,000 homes to invite them to our back-to-school event where Pastor David is going to be speaking on August the 14th. We're going to be feeding folks, getting them clothing. We're going to be haircuts to those that need haircuts for free. We're going to be ministering to them and be ready to minister to them the love of God. Our volunteers, they are wonderful at that. And the last time we were able to do this, we had so much groceries left over that Pastor David said, Dad, can we just go at night and just take it to whoever's in our community? And we loaded up, and I thought we'd have 6 people. We had like 26 people. And we just went, and they called it the food caravan. What's going on? This church, this food caravan's coming down, and they're giving away food. And already Convoy of Hope has committed to give us 8 pallets of food to help feed the hungry. Others have opened up the letters that we sent, and they're already starting to call us back and say, we want to be a part of what you're doing. We want to be a part of what you're doing. Central Bank called me back and said, from the marketing department. And so I had left a message. I called them right back and said, we want to donate pencils. How many do you think that you'll need? And I said, well, we were expecting up to 300 kids. They were thinking one pencil a kid. I'm thinking, well, if we only have 100 kids, they'll get 3 pencils, because I was trying to get more pencils. But they said, we'll donate 300 pencils to you for the back to school. Our neighbor over here is asking what is necessary. She has 2 businesses. She wants to actually donate again this year. We put out to 70-some businesses, and we're hoping to follow up on them really quick and see. That means we're going to need workers. That means we're going to need children's clothes and so on. But this coming Sunday night, we need workers to help us canvas, because we're not going to have I'm laying hands on you. We're going to have we're going into the world, and we're showing them the love of Jesus. And if they're that, we're going to give them the flyer and the things that we have. But if someone comes out, we're going to be ready to touch their life in a positive way and say, we're here. Here's the other businesses that are partnering with us, and Convoy of Hope, Cross Lines, Hammer Enterprises, Central Bank, Sam's Club, Walmart, others that are partnering with us that have already said that they would help us because they love. These businesses love a church that'll go do the work to touch people. They won't sow to my salary, but they'll give if we'll go give it. Isn't that wonderful? I'd rather have it just like that. Amen. And so we're going to have more stories to share. I remember the first time Corey went out with us. He came back. He was about bouncing all over the walls back here in the fellowship hall of all the stories. It works. Look at I said, look at that, the excitement and the joy. And so we're going to have things like that. Plus, this Sunday night, immediately following our canvassing, we've got somebody that's already donated food for the workers, food and refreshment for the workers. So that's going to be provided. And we're already working on others. And I'm hoping somebody pray for Chick-fil-A, amen, that they'll give us enough food to feed everybody that comes in on the 14th. I've got to check up on that. So we're moving along that direction, because this last one, as a mature planting of God, we will produce others in the kingdom of our God, saved by Jesus, becoming disciples, making those disciples. If we are good soil, we've got enough word to help plant 30, 60, 100. Think for a moment, if at the bottom end of this, we have 20 people that impact 30 people. How soon do we need to build a building to even have multiple services to touch that many lives? We can't house them. That's why the Lord said, when the eagle finally spreads its wings, this nest will be too small for us to be able to minister to everybody that needs to be ministered to train them. Would you stand to your feet?